The Holy Gospel is written in Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the Old Testament and gospel lessons as well as the fourth and final stanza of our Advent hymn, Lost in the Night. If you'd like to follow along with the written sermon notes, you'll find those this morning on page 5 in your bulletin. Stanza 4 of our theme Advent hymn, Lost in the Night, reads as follows. Light o'er the land of the needy is beaming. Rivers of life through its deserts are streaming, bringing all peoples a Savior redeeming. Come and save us soon. Come and save us soon. In this fourth and final stanza, the hymn writer expresses great confidence in God. Light is beaming brightly in this dark world. Rivers of life are streaming through the arid desert. The Savior of the world has come. Bold, powerful promises. Unlikely promises. Would God's people accept them? Would they believe in those promises? Would they trust in those promises? Do we? Will we? Our lessons this morning describe two challenging situations in terms of trusting God. In our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 7, King Ahaz of Judah is in a very difficult situation. Kings and armies have amassed against him, and they are marching toward Jerusalem to wipe out the kingdom of Judah. The prophet Isaiah calls upon King Ahaz to place his trust in God. And God, through the prophet Isaiah, offers a sign to King Ahaz. A virgin will conceive and bear a son, and before that son is very old at all, those armies and those kings marching against Jerusalem will be defeated. This same prophecy is applied centuries later in the lives of Mary and Joseph. Mary, a virgin, will conceive and give birth to a son. God promises a sign of salvation. But think for a moment about each one of those circumstances. Imagine that you are King Ahaz, and the prophet comes to you and says, well, just trust in God. Don't worry about making alliances with other kings, with other armies to defend your city and your people. Or imagine being either Mary or Joseph and receiving that word from the angel Gabriel. What would your reaction be? Would you trust in the promises of God? In each case, God promises a sign of salvation, and God delivers on his promise. So what about you? Do you trust God? King Ahaz ultimately did not. Mary and Joseph did. What about you? How about when you, in your life, face difficult and challenging circumstances? How about when all of the evidence around you seems to be contrary to the notion of trusting in the way that God is leading? Or when the future looks bleak or the odds seem long? Do you trust God and his promises? Maybe a good prior question to that one is this: can you trust God? Can God be trusted? Is God trustworthy? Is God faithful? Always? This is really where the rubber hits the road in terms of our walk with the Lord. Trusting in the faithfulness of God, even despite evidence to the contrary. The prophet Jeremiah says in Lamentations chapter 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And in the New Testament, Paul writes, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God, by definition, is faithful. In fact, the ultimate message of this Advent season is that God is always faithful. Sometimes we indeed may waver, we may wonder, we may question to be sure. But the sign of Emmanuel, the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, God with us, is the ultimate evidence of God's faithfulness. Jesus, the Son of God, took on human flesh, was born in the Virgin Mary, came to this world to be our Savior from sin, to live a holy and perfect life that we could not live, to die the death that we deserve to die, and then to rise again that first Easter to defeat death itself for us. God promised it through the ages, and God delivered on his promise in a most magnificent way. When you struggle or doubt, remember the sign of all signs, Emmanuel, God with us, God with you. God with you in all of the ups and downs of your life. God with you when things are going great. And God with you when things aren't going so great. Remember the sign. Remember that God is with you to give you strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Remember the sign that He gives to you, a new life that imitates His, a new life that has victory over greed and selfishness, a new life that is characterized by love and service and caring and giving. Can God be trusted? Yes, He can. He had a plan. Ahaz did not see that plan and did not trust in God. Even Mary and Joseph only saw glimpses or pieces of that plan, and yet they trusted. And isn't that often true for you and for me? We don't always see the whole scope of what God is doing or where He is leading, but like those we have talked about this morning in the Scriptures, we are called simply to believe and to trust. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue our worship as we join in singing the hymn of the day. Please be seated. Please take a moment at this time to register your attendance using the packets of cards along the outside aisles. In addition to the attendance registration sheets in the packet, there are also prayer request cards and Stephen ministry cards. We continue our worship now with the gathering of our offering.
Prepare the royal highway, the King of Kings is near. Let every hill and valley a level road appear. Then greet the King of Glory, foretold in sacred story. Hosanna to the Lord.
Lord Jesus, as the time for celebration of your birth approaches, we pray now that you would bless these gifts so that more and more would know you as Emmanuel, God with us. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. Let us pray now for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord Jesus, bless us this Advent season. Help us to be watchful for your return. Prepare our hearts to receive you again into our world and into our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who need your healing power. We pray especially for Don Bischoff, Quentin Hendrick, Craig Ludwig, Carol Oldie, Marcy Scharnhorst, John Shreve, Irma Wilmoth, now under hospice care, Noah Corum, and also those we name in our hearts at this time. Grant to each renewed health according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those in positions of authority. Bless those who are preparing to assume the offices to which they were elected, those who continue to serve, and those who are completing their time of public service. Help all to serve humbly and to look to you for guidance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we thank you for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for birthdays and anniversaries and other evidences of your goodness. Help us to live grateful lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those traveling who are affected by the blast of winter weather, as well as those who will be traveling in upcoming days. Keep them safe and bless the time they spend with their loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. We continue our worship with the liturgy of the Lord's Supper, which begins on page 6 in your bulletin. Please stand.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God, and calling sinners to repentance, that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." We join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. All those who are baptized into Christ Jesus and who trust in him for the forgiveness of their sins and for God's gift of salvation, and also who acknowledge it in the sacrament they're receiving the body and blood of Jesus, are welcome at the Lord's table. Welcome now to the table of our Lord.
Thank you.
Now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen and keep you in true faith now and forever. Go forth now in his peace and joy. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray now that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift, both in faith toward you and also in fervent love toward one another. We pray this for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand to receive the benediction, followed by our closing hymn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Prepare the way of the Lord. Amen.